And welcome to another edition of Film Grok. My name is Serge Delpierre, and today we'll be doing the seminal boxing movie Rocky from 1976. I have with me to my right
John H. Ruby.
To my far left,
Curtis Nelson.
And joining us for the first time, to my left is
Leah Tuttle.
Hi, Leah. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Glad to have you here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome, awesome. So before we get started, our queuing up point is the very beginning of the United Artists logo. So you're going to have to inch through it as soon as it comes up. The right side of the logo comes up, and that's where you'll pause, because that's where we're paused. And then we're ready to go. We'll count down 3, 2, 1. We'll hit play. You'll hit play, and we'll all be in sync as we go along to this. So, Leah.
Yes.
This is your favorite film?
It is one of my favorite films.
How is it? Oh, it's one of your favorite films.
I have quite a few.
Oh,
you
do?
It's hard to pick just one.
But this is way super up there, right?
Top five.
Oh, nice.
Okay. A woman that likes Rocky.
I know.
Because I disagree. It's not just a boxing movie.
Oh, yes. It's almost not a boxing movie.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I agree. It's a love story. It's about perseverance.
Right.
And it's an underdog story, which are my favorites.
Yeah. And actually, I think, I mean, we'll discuss this more, but I think this basically started, I mean, really established as a genre the underdog movie. Am I going out there on a limb?
I mean, I seem to remember that.
It kind of made it part of the norm in the movie.
I think maybe just really brought
history.
it all together.
Not that it hadn't been done before, you know, I mean, you know, there was plenty of boxing movies from back in the day. I mean, I'm obviously, you know, On the Waterfront and all these other things that had boxing themes in them, but they were always underdogs. But this one really took it and skyrocketed it, made it run with it. Paul Newman, what was the boxing movie he was in? Were the same thing? Anyway.
Oh, it was about Rocky Marciano.
Yes, same thing.
I don't remember the
underdogs
title of it.
And,
well, I mean, you know, it's likely that inspired it a bit. But that's okay. Because, I mean, if anything, it just basically, it reinvigorated the genre.
Yeah.
And recreated, because then it did create its own genre, and, well, that Sylvester Stallone basically owned for 4 or 5 films.
Sure.
Kind of thing. So you like this film, Curtis?
Love this film. I mean, how can you not like this film growing up a child of the 80s? I mean, you know, in my movie-watching years, I mean, it was on cable every other day, so saw it a billion times over. And, you know, I mean, you're able to look back now and say you liked it then because, well, I like the boxing, I like the fighting. But then you also say, you know what, even as a child, I really enjoyed the love story and the Leah was saying, the underdog story is always my favorite story.
You're soft.
I love it. No, I love the whole underdog thing. You got to root for somebody that's behind it and everything else. So. Yeah. And John?
Oh, I fell in love it when you first talked to those turtles.
Cuff and Link?
Yeah, I did. I was just like, that was a whole... And I'm coming from it from a whole writing point of view, and there's a bunch of things I'm going to say about it. But just that one thing, there's at least 3 or 4 scenes. Blake Snyder has written a book recently, or he's passed on, but his first book that he wrote was Save the Cat, and that is actually Save the Cat moment. And what that means is when our hero does something really nice, usually for another person, but just really shows a vulnerable side and does something nice. And Rocky has a bunch of those moments, and that makes us like him. Mm-hmm. And then when they have the trials and tribulation, we're really rooting for him because we really like him. And so that's where I'm coming from. And I'm actually really excited to be here because when I rewatched it, I thought I was watching a boxing movie. But then I really realized it's a drama with a little bit of boxing in it. Because there's actually a very little bit of boxing in it. It's amazing almost how little there is actual fighting. It's at the very end. And
I couldn't care less about boxing. Yeah. I mean, I actually watched boxing on TV, and it wasn't as, you know, choreographed as the movie. Yeah. I was like, this is the most boring thing I've ever watched in my life.
Right.
But I've watched the Rocky movies. I don't even know how many times. Yeah. So I don't think it's about boxing.
Well, it's about so much more. Dreams.
Yeah.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, going the distance.
Never giving up. Blah, blah, blah.
It's about, yeah, exactly, accomplishing, you know, having a goal and having everything against you and essentially going for it. Actually, back in 1976, it won 3 Oscars for Best Picture, of course, for Best Director for John Avildsen, and Best Film Editing. Mm-hmm. And was nominated for another 7, Best Actor for Sylvester Stallone, Best Supporting Actor for Burgess Meredith, Burt Young, Talia Shire are also in a Best Actress leading role, the music, the sound, so and the writing by Sylvester Stallone, who I think the legend has it he wrote it in a week or 2 weeks
three
or something
days
like that.
Or something.
Three days?
Yeah, I heard three, four. I mean, there's all kinds of different stories.
And he was
but
in the bathroom and he had a stomachache while he wrote it, is what I heard, too. All
right. No, you're making that up.
And he had a gumdrop in his eye for some bizarre reason.
Come on. It's a good story.
Yes, it is a good story.
Come on, it's about the underdog. And that was essentially his story. You know, he was trying to break in. He wrote himself a role and he managed to get it produced and got it, and it did very well.
Well, and yes, they offered him a boatload of money to have someone else star in it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, and he said no.
Yeah, and he ended up, I think, selling it for, like, was it $25,000 or something? But they'd offered him, you know, hundreds of thousands to let, was it Robert Redford or Ryan O'Neal start?
Ryan
instead, and he refused.
Oh, that's right. Ryan O'Neal had done a boxing film a couple of years before called The Main Event with Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
Well, one of their several comedies that they did in the early 70s.
That's the real brilliant move that he did, was he said.
Could you imagine Ryan O'Neal as
Rocky?
No. Yeah, or, I mean, Robert Redford, I mean, great actor, but not as Rocky. I mean,
we know the studio wanted that. I can't even see Redford saying yes to it. Is the thing? It's like, really, like, I'm going to do that? No. So,
all right. So on that note, let's get ready to go. So please have your hands on the remote, and I will count down. So 3, 2, 1, play. Oh, look at that United Artists logo.
Transamerica.
I think this was the intermediate one because there was the nice one, the Transamerica logo that they had for a while. And then it went to, I guess, the one that got redone when UA joined up with MGM.
Okay, yeah, because on my DVD, it's a different logo.
Hairs are
still really?
The silver UA logo.
Really? R-O-C-K-Y.
That's a great title sequence. Look at that. That tells you exactly what it's about.
Well, it's a great title sequence, but what a way to open a film. I mean, like I just said, I'm not even joking. The hair on my arms are
standing
up.
But he's like the trumpets are blaring for a Roman god.
Oh, I'm telling you. And then they come pan down to this great, great shot of just a basement or something. It's actually a church.
Yeah, church basement. Yeah.
And it's a nice pullback.
Are people throwing trash?
That's what happens in boxing matches. Yeah.
And the thing about it is that everybody should know that this is really true. That, I mean, I grew up in Oklahoma, and we would always go watch these boxing matches in some, you know, high school auditorium or something like that. And they were professional matches. Right. Guys were getting paid to be there, but they were, you know, either climbing or falling in the ranks, as you know, it was guys either hanging on or some young kid trying out. And we'd go watch these, and they were in the middle of nowhere. And they were professional boxing matches, but it shows you how if you're not Floyd Mayweather or Manny Pacquiao or whoever it is, you're just fighting for a fight.
Wow.
You know, to get recognized.
How many people were in those things? Were it like 50?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes less. Sometimes 20, 30 people there, you know, so.
You're fighting like a bum.
I think he'd done like Lords of Flatbush with Henry Winkler actually.
He had also done what was it? The 2000. What's the racing movie?
Oh, Death Race.
Death Race 2000.
Oh, he did Death Race 2000.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And the soft porn.
Oh, soft core porn.
Party at Kitty and Studs. I think it's called.
Let's do that next time.
Hey, now you see back there, look what it says on the back wall. It says Resurrection. That is basically in a way what his story is about. It's about he's resurrecting himself.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's kind of interesting what I like about this movie is how it starts at his kind of lowest point. It doesn't wait until the middle of the movie. It just starts, you know, at the beginning where he's just like, you know.
Well, they do two great things. One, you're expecting a boxing movie, so it's great that you have a fight scene right at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That satisfies that right off the bat. And then secondly, it shows... the box scene also, obviously, the way he fights shows who he really is, which is a bum and a crazy guy.
It shows right there that later in the film it's going to pay off, where it shows his tenacity and it shows how much he has the will to fight, and he really is a gladiator. Yeah. And when it comes down to it, he'll fight for what he believes in or just fight to survive.
But that he's untrained, mm-hmm. and he has no form, and he doesn't know how to control himself. I mean, that's what that last little beat was about.
Well, the one thing I love about the boxing movies, these boxing movies, is, you know, being a past athlete myself, you know, it just always bummed me out whenever I would watch these movies. And it's so hard for me to get past the idea that when an actor doesn't do something well athletically, it drives me absolutely crazy. You're playing a baseball player, but you look like a robot when you throw. It drives me absolutely insane. But in a movie like this, whether it's Sylvester Stallone, whatever you want to say about Sylvester Stallone, mm-hmm. or Carl Weathers, they look fantastic when they box. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you immediately believe it, and you're immediately into it, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. That was nice how they do the whole Italian stallion thing, rather than somebody calling him it.
All right, it's on his... on his robe.
And I love the fact
robe. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the one thing can be said, we mentioned it earlier about casting. How could you even see Ryan O'Neal in this movie, or whoever it might be? Even if it were Redford, you couldn't, because look at the face on Sylvester Stallone. Yeah. You know, sad, droopy. He does look like a dog that is like an old dog that's just run down. And he's only like, I mean, he's like 30 here, which is old for an actor, I guess you would say, at this time. And he hadn't really been known. But you really feel for the guy. Just look at his face. So it's perfect casting.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Hollywood system, they look at it as, oh, we need Robert Redford, and he's the perfect guy for it. And it's like, well, no, he's not. Because
they didn't realize what the vision of it was, and obviously it took...
They read it, and they didn't realize the vision of it. That was correct.
It took the producers and also the director coming to it, I'm sure, whatever process there was to say, hey, this guy would be the ideal... I mean, but look at this. I mean, you've got a street. It's strewn with garbage.
Yeah.
You know, you can't see a pretty face coming down. That's the whole thing. You know, being some palooka.
Well, that's another great thing about just low-budget filmmaking really paid off in the helping of this movie. You know, like Aaliyah was saying, you know, they could have easily went with big, big stars, and if he had sold it, they would have made it big and flashy. But by making this a low-budget, I think they said they made it for like $1 million. I mean, it's nothing.
It's gritty. It's a gritty story.
He's nice with the puppy dogs.
Right.
It does two things. One, it shows that he's nice with puppy dogs, so he's got a big heart and all that, and he's just a cute little guy inside. And then also it establishes where the pet shop is, because that's where Adrian works.
Right.
Oh.
So that shows that he's nearby. So it actually did two great things. And here, this dialogue, if you catch, he goes, you guys are getting better every year, which means that he and them have been doing this for years, which is a nice way.
And that's Frank Stallone.
Yes, pop culture. the guy with the Letterman jacket right there, the S, that's Frank Stallone's brother. And a lot of people don't know that Sylvester used to actually be a roadie for Frank Stallone, and he would carry his. I mean, Frank Stallone at this time had been touring and actually pretty successful as a musical artist and doing really well. And that was his whole like group, and they just went there and did that a cappella.
Oh, really?
And actually, it actually didn't pay off, because that became like a number one hit, and they made no money off of it, because now United Artists owned it, and so they just totally didn't make any money and everything. So, but it's kind of interesting.
Those United Artists. People.
The Hollywood
folk. Oh, you.
God bless him.
Nice composition. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah.
This was a big thing. I don't think I saw this in the movie theaters. I saw it on video a few years, when video started coming out.
Mm-hmm. 76. I was only 4 years old, so... Sorry.
I was 1,500 years old in 76.
I wasn't born yet.
Sorry. All right, I was born. Okay. I was so way born. But that's all right.
Well, look at this directing, and we talked about this when we watched other films, and we've watched many before. This is a commentary group, and it just cracks me up how they've gotten away from such great shot setups like this, like the light in the foreground, the record player, the turtles, Cuff and Link. I mean, all this stuff is like, and he walks into the frame.
Yeah.
But it starts back there. It's almost like a theater play, and I love it.
But that's Avildsen's directing. I mean, he really, you know.
Well, but he owned this would one. He do it today if Avildsen directed it again today? You know, it's like, I don't know.
Well, I think differing styles also maybe of the time in terms of, I mean, because this really.
Know, but it's one nice long take and.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It allows for acting.
It depends on you know, the director, DP relationship, what they can achieve. What's that?
Avildsen, didn't you do The Karate Kid?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
I watched that recently, and I'd forgotten that he had done that.
Another lovable loser kind of, you know, and underdog story. And
did very well. I mean, that was a great film. I remember seeing that.
And the Save the Cat moment on Karate Kid is when the Daniel gets water for the dog at the very beginning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Shows that he's a nice kid. And
I love that he practices jokes. Yeah. I find that it's just so sweet.
Mm-hmm. I know that's great. And that's a great setup because we didn't know that he's practicing the joke.
Well, and once again, it subscribes to the show don't tell. That's good writing. Good filmmaking.
Well, it also, I mean, it shows, I mean, even for somebody like Stallone, he gets out and he gets an Oscar nomination for writing in this, and he never really wrote something as successful as this again as far as that goes.
Alive.
Well, I mean, he's written tons of stuff.
Well,
I mean, he wrote the new Rocky. he did a lot of rewrites on a lot of his movies that nobody really talks about either. You know?
Right. And I mean, I have no doubt that he, you know, Avildsen definitely worked with him on get the final shaping of the screenplay, but he brought the heart of everything.
But I mean, I think at the time he was living in a one bedroom apartment or a studio apartment or whatever, and
yeah. But he's doing what all of us do is struggling here in LA,
and that's so. Where a lot of genius comes from. The story I heard was that he came about the story on a Muhammad Ali fight, and I forget who Muhammad Ali was fighting, but Muhammad Ali was supposed to destroy the guy and just was actually supposed to just annihilate him. And he didn't. The guy went the distance with him. So it was a huge thing. He still lost, but he went the distance with him. And that's where the idea sparked Sylvester Stallone,
Because before then, I'm sorry, I just want to say this. Before then, basically a boxing movie about the guy who's supposed to win, and he wins easily. Here, Rocky does, it is always a struggle, and ultimately it's not about winning. And that was single difference. Well, yeah, exactly, spoiling the end. But you've seen this movie already. He doesn't, that's okay. He doesn't win. That's the whole point. And it's not about the winning, but it's about the getting there. You were saying, Leo?
Chuck Wepner, was that the name of a boxer? Didn't he try to sue Sylvester Stallone for taking the story? I don't know if he was the one that fought Ali. I'm not entirely sure because I don't really know anything about sports, but...
That's okay. I forgot his name, but just know that it came from...
Likely that that stuff happens again, someone's successful, and if they feel they've contributed or they can say, that was influenced by me or inspired by me, then that often brings people out, legitimately or not, out of the woodwork.
That's his dog.
That's his dog?
Yes, that's Sylvester Stallone's dog, Butt-Kiss.
That's nice. I want my dog in the film. It's in the contract. All right.
Well, okay, what's really great here about the whole writing thing, you think it's a boxing movie, and so the inciting incident, you would think it might have something to do with fighting, but it doesn't. He meets Adrian at minute 11, and so it's really, as you were saying, Leah, that's really a whole love story, and as we were all saying, it's so much more. So, so that's what's really, kicking off the story, it's really the love story first.
Well, and it shows also he has food for his turtles at home, and he went in to buy another, so.
And it was nice, too, that they showed the night before with the puppy dogs, because then when we see him at the pet shop, we're like, oh, he's only being nice to the animals because he's trying to get the girl, but then we go, no, that's not true, because we saw when nobody was around, he was nice. That's a nice ship.
It's a, it's a matte painting.
That is.
He cracks the stick on there.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, that's right. He's collecting. He's collecting for the mob, essentially.
For a loan shark.
For a loan shark, yeah.
A two-bit loan shark. That's so great. He said that you got to dance, you got to pay the banker.
Got to pay the band.
The band.
You want to dance, you got to pay the band. I like how he's counting. He's like really, it's 130 here. He's like, he's really concentrating. Like, oh, wait. Well, and this proves how much of a heart he does have as well.
Right.
Yeah. And that's actually another nice moment, too, that he doesn't break the guy's thumb, even though he's supposed to.
Or take his coat in Philadelphia in November.
Yeah.
right.
I killed him. It took a day and a half because he froze to death. But
that's right.
Nice location work, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice location.
Oh, I never noticed a camera shake there. A big, long lens.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah, the whole thing is... Get in the car.
$20.
I love the glasses.
He spilled Del Rio.
Wow.
That's great.
Oh, man. Look at those glasses.
Yeah.
I love this guy.
That's good acting. Look at that look.
Whoa.
Great.
Yeah. James Crabbe did the, was a DP.
Yeah, one bad set into another. Look at that thing. Just
that's nice.
Looks like a World War II set. It's awesome.
I want to...
Actually, what James Crabbe did Karate Kid also.
Say what?
The DP. He did a whole bunch of smaller films, but he did, I obviously worked with Appleton.
I like how he says, I hear things. He drove right from where the guy's thumb was broke. What'd you do? Call him on a cell phone?
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't break my thumb.
That's right.
But it was the old days.
Yeah.
Word on the street, Chell was fast.
Yeah. I read the script, man.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing to remember also, this is, 4 years after The Godfather?
Sure.
Which basically... changed all about, you know, movies about the mob. And so,
well, yeah.
I think in that vein, it was, you know, taking a look at allowing some of that flavoring to come in.
It's great.
Good one.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they're disrespecting him. You know, he's a bum. He's a loser.
Yeah.
That's what it's all reading.
So real quick, I know this may be stretching it a bit, but usually right around the 15-minute mark, we get a scene that tells us what this movie's about.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing up on the dock with the big boat,
uh-huh.
and they say, Rocky, you're going to fight? You're going to fight again soon, Rocky? When are you going to fight again? And he goes, yeah, real soon, I'm going to make $1 million.
So oh, wow.
That nice little thing to give everybody a...
Do you have my back, sir?
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
If you guys notice when you see this again, for anybody that's never seen Sylvester Stallone in person, he's very short.
How short is short?
Your size, Serge.
I'm all 5'8". Big deal.
Like I said, but look, check out the heels on them shoes when you see him again. It's like, holy God. The heels on his shoes are like 4 inches, man. I'm like,
5'8" is perfectly respectable.
And you even see he's got like about an inch and a half sole underneath the shoe itself, besides the heel. I was like, wow.
I saw Carl Weathers at the Third Street Promenade once, and he is big.
I
think he's only like 6'1", but...
Well, he's a big dude.
He's a football player, right?
Well, I mean, that's worth mentioning. I was going to wait to where he popped up, but Carl Weathers played for the Oakland Raiders. And he was a football player and was actually under John Madden. And John Madden still remembers to this day whenever he was, he told John Madden he's going to have to quit football because he's going to be an actor because he was going to be making this movie.
Did they give away his locker?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Dipper.
Why not?
He already has it decorated with chick photos.
Yeah.
And
you put me on Skid Row. It's also a great way to get out exposition that he's been doing it for 6 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's one way you're allowed to do exposition is when you're yelling at someone.
Oh.
As long as there's drama. Like, we've been...
Can I have people yelling at each other during the whole movie?
Yeah.
Exposition?
Preferably. Watch Shrek. Watch Shrek. That's all they do. Donkey and Shrek, they just yell at each other.
And going back to casting, can you really cast anybody better than Burgess?
But this
Meredith
is like Burgess Meredith. I mean, the crowning achievement on his career.
Yeah. Up into this, he was just famous for the Penguin.
He's pretty great in the Grumpy Old Men movies, though, I gotta say.
Okay. But that's because we know him from this. I mean, it wouldn't have been anything without this.
I like how he... What I love about the character of Rocky and the way Sylvester Stallone wrote him was, is he's this fighter. He's this tough guy, but yet he's such a softy. He's in there telling... He's pleading with the guy, why'd he put me on Skid Row? And then he goes out there, and he's almost like begging, like, hey, what'd you do? You know, it's like he's talking... He's like such a little kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and he doesn't want to hurt anybody. Yeah.
And he's not confident. He doesn't really believe in himself, in which what we're going to find out later whenever Talia Shire and him together. Mm-hmm. It's probably the first time ever anybody's ever really supported him.
And it was nice. He paid him a nice compliment there. He goes, you got heart, but you fight like a big ape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another way for people to get people to like each other when writing. You have other people pay them compliments, and then the audience knows what to think about them. So as soon as the coach says, and Burgess Meredith obviously sort of hates him, but if he says, you got heart, well, we go, oh, he hates him. He knows he's got heart. He's got to have heart.
Yeah.
I should watch movies with writers more often.
It's every single... Well, those words aren't accidents.
Now, Talia Shire also coming off of the Godfather movies very successfully. And this was like her big role outside of those.
I love the fact that she just doesn't talk. That's just awesome.
I just love that he keeps trying.
Yeah.
And what's great about her performance is it's just so different than what she did in the Godfather movies.
Well, that's kind of interesting how he's very quiet and doesn't talk a whole lot, but then around her he can't shut up because she doesn't say a word. Right. So it's like he's just trying to somehow break the ice.
Yeah.
It's like the same way he is in the ring. He just keeps coming after them, and he just doesn't stop. It's what he wants.
You know, I've often thought of that, actually. They look like cotton candy.
Cotton candy. Well, it's interesting later when we meet Burgess Meredith, not Burgess Meredith, her brother, Polly, and he talks about how you can basically see how he kept her down his whole life, and he's never complimented her. He's never told her she's good enough and basically used her to support him in a lot of ways. Yeah. And these two are perfect for each other for that reason. He's never had anybody that's really loved him or really told him he's good. And we don't know anything about his history. We just know from what we've learned already just by what we see that he's this lovable loser that nobody's ever really
And that was excellent how she said that line, "Good night, Rocky," because actually knew that she was glad he was there. And you know, because as a guy, when I talk to a girl and she doesn't talk to me at all, I start thinking maybe she doesn't want me to be here.
She's shy. She's not a bitch.
Yeah, right.
And another moment of showing how lovable he is.
Another save the cat moment. Puts the drunk inside the phone booth. Right. Missed the cue ball. That's
forget her.
Which is funny.
I like how we still don't see Burt Young's face.
Yeah. I love his jacket.
It's a nice winter jacket.
Yeah.
See how he's totally just knocking her down, and she's not even there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Face.
I love the fact that there's no mirror in this whole place.
Yeah, this is a mirror, just a shard, chunk of it. Yeah.
It's a tiny little bit.
Is Burt Young still alive?
See, he just doesn't want him to get involved with the bad guy.
See, like, before he had nothing to say to Rocky, and it was like, telling him to stay away from his sister.
Yeah.
And then whenever he's asking for a job, hey, can you go try to get me a job?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's like, you know what? You should come by.
Yeah.
Awesome. Burt Young is still alive.
Okay.
According to IMDb.
So this is Apollo Creed.
Mm-hmm.
This is 26 minutes.
Can I just say this uses something that I hate, which is like using something on TV to get exposition across. I mean, I get it, but please.
Really? That doesn't bother me.
It shows that he's famous enough to be on TV.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, I mean, you're right. Yeah. It does show that he's famous enough to be on TV, but I'll grant it here, but usually it's used in a pretty lazy way. Mm-hmm. In a lot of films. Well, let's throw it on TV, and this is what's happening now. Let's now be the, you know, let's not give you exposition.
Yeah. And it's nice that Rocky really speaks highly of Apollo Creed. Which is nice, you know. Mm-hmm. He's a champ. He took a best shot at it, and he made it. You know,
he wants to be that.
Yeah.
He also knows that he probably will never be there.
But the thing is, the other thing is, he understands what it takes to be a championship fighter.
Yeah.
He's not petty. He's not jealous. He says, "I respect that," and that's what makes him actually truly talented and truly capable of being a champion.
Yeah. All right.
Because he does understand it.
Look at this, though. 13-year-old kid.
Yeah. Creepo.
And here's another
good old Philly.
They're feeling another moment. He likes kids too.
Yeah, you're right. He's trying to set a show. Yeah, this is like a 2.5 minute save the cat scene right here.
Yeah. Just take a smoke of cigarette.
Yeah. So here's a question. I mean, do you think a film like this could be made today?
A kid smoking?
Not the kid smoking, but I'm saying a guy in this, basically this environment, this milieu.
No,
this kind
not.
Of story.
I mean, it is
It'd
a
be
shame.
Independent. Yeah.
Because the story is the story, and whatever.
It would probably get turned into some hackneyed, overblown.
It would turn into what was the Mark Wahlberg movie where he became a football player. It turned into that.
Oh, or didn't he do two films like that? He did The Football Player and The Rockstar one?
Yeah, but
The Rockstar one had potential.
I kind of enjoyed it.
You liked it?
I mean, I was entertained.
Yeah.
Was it called Rockstar?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
The football one wasn't horrible, but it's just colored up. You never felt the dirtiness of it. And he's in Philadelphia. You know, he's a bartender, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, it's just unrealistic because of the parodiness of it.
Right. Well, that's the thing. This is nice and dirty, and I know it's been a long scene. He's schooling her. There must be a point to why this is lasting so long.
Well,
we spend a lot of time, and she doesn't show back up, does she?
Well, I think there's one quick where she's hanging out with the kids. We'll see that again, which goes to show that everything Rocky just told her was for naught.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
And doesn't her character reappear in Rocky Balboa in the very, very last sequel?
Oh, really?
Oh, she does?
I think
she's a babysitter.
That's good.
I just made that up.
I'm pretty sure.
She's the one that polishes the little robot guy.
Yeah.
Puts new batteries in him.
You were saying,
I love that robot. I really do.
Beady, 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 beady.
Well, I mean, what that scene shows is he spends all that time with her, and it's for nothing.
And
she's basically just telling him to go screw himself. And yeah. now he's still just this guy that just he can't do anything right. Yet he has a lot to give.
But he can't seem to do anything right because the world is out of kilter with him because he is doing everything right. That's the thing.
And he keeps trying.
And he keeps trying because he's not giving up on doing right and being a good person.
Yeah, well, he doesn't lose his morality just because everybody else thinks he's a bum or whatever. Yes. He just continues stands up for what he believes in.
Which is actually really good. And interestingly enough, I mean, if we go back to the 70s, I mean, a lot of 70s movies were about specifically morality because, I mean, there was a lot to talk about, a lot to angst about. I mean, there was Watergate. And it was the questioning about the faith in government. It was Vietnam and all that kind of thing. And so the questions of morality were played out in movies and...
Okay, now check this out. This is I've never seen this been done in a movie before, and I've become conscious of it. This is the beginning of the second act, meaning the fighter that he was going to fight can't make it, so they got to find a new one. We all know it's Rocky, right? Because we saw the poster. We're in the theater.
Yeah,
we're not idiots, right? But Rocky doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
Usually, I would almost say every other movie I've ever seen in my entire life, the second act starts with the hero entering a new world, and he knows he's entering a new world.
And he doesn't even know he's entering a new world.
Rocky doesn't even know it yet.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But the new world that he does enter is going to be at Thanksgiving, where he actually asks Adrian out on a date. Mm-hmm. So he does go into a new world, but it's a dating romantic new world and not a boxing new world.
But it is boxing new world, too. It's like there's two stories. I mean, there are two stories.
But he doesn't know that he's even in it, what I'm saying.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
In every other movie, the training would start now.
Yeah,
you know, or Luke would be in the cantina or whatever.
True, Luke did know.
Yeah,
the second act was starting
when
Aunt Owen, Aunt Beru, and Uncle Owen were burnt to crisp.
Toast.
That's right.
Have you guys done Star Wars yet?
No,
not yet.
No, but we sometimes get dressed up like Jedi.
It happens.
What are you talking about? I'm wearing a codpiece right now. What's interesting...
That's way too much information.
And interesting to note is interesting pop culture little story behind Carl Weathers getting hired for this, and I've heard him tell this story before, was whenever he auditioned for it, Stallone already had the part. Obviously, he wrote it and da-da-da, and they were casting Apollo Creed's part. He came in to audition, and Stallone was reading with people.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And Carl Weathers actually... made a comment to the casting director as he was leaving. He's like, kind of, he's cocky, he's an athlete and everything else. He's like, hey, how about, you know what? I'll do better next time if you guys can bring in a better actor to act with me. And it was Stallone he was talking about.
Did Stallone hear that or no?
Yeah, he said it right to his face. So it's the kind of thing.
I love the glasses.
Yeah.
It like totally undercuts his image as a tough guy.
And they got like tape on the side and everything else. See? Going up.
That is like a 20-year-old joke between my older brother and I whenever, you know, we're talking on the phone on the weekend. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, are you going to go to the zoo? It's been going on for years.
That's great. They're fighting right over the loan shark, which is so... What's great is that it shows that he's such a two-bit loan shark that, you know, Al Pacino would have never let that happen. And I love the fact that he gives him money for the date. It's like everybody's got heart in this movie.
Well, I like how this guy stands up for him. He likes him. And he gives him $50. Earlier, he gave him $20 for doing his job, and he gave him $50 to take a chick out.
And $50 in '76 is a lot of money.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't $1 million, but that was,
And considering how much does he get paid for boxing? Didn't he get like $16 after that fight that he won?
The guy who lost got like. I want to know, is there really a book of boxers?
I've wondered that.
I think back then, absolutely. There was no internet.
Oh, that's true.
Yep. And basically, there used to be, you know, remember you used to go into record store and like the discography to find all sorts of records?
Yeah.
Well, and this is the perfect setup right here to show that, because what does everybody always want? Opportunity and chance. And yes. It usually never comes to them.
Yeah.
And so for this to just be looking through a book, basically like pointing into a phone book and saying, hey, just by the name alone, I'm giving this guy an opportunity and a chance. He could have destroyed him. He could have picked some just knucklehead that he would have just absolutely incinerated. But he picked this guy. The guy we've been following. And it's a great setup to make everybody really want to root for Rocky as well.
Yeah. And it's great because that, you know, the whole Italian Stallion, nobody else in the whole movie's called him an Italian Stallion yet, which is great.
Well, but it also shows that he's very in tune with
marketing.
I mean the showbiz aspect
of
it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean
yeah,
it's
yeah.
about
He's all about
I mean
it.
It's about entertainment. Well, it's about winning for him, but it's also about entertainment.
Right.
It's about part of the image. Yeah.
Which we see with James Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, well, in Rocky IV. Rocky IV. Yeah. In Rocky IV is. Well, actually, if we have a moment now, if there's anything coming up right now, we can talk about the other Rockies real quickly.
Real quick, I just want to say one thing. When they said that he wants to fight the Southpaw, and his trainer specifically said, I don't want you messing around with the Southpaw. They do everything backwards. Mm-hmm. So that was nice because it's tricky when you're writing something like this. You're going to take someone that's obviously an incredible professional. You're going to take a nobody, and somehow you've got to establish along the way that this nobody actually has a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do that.
And the
like
South
every 10
thing,
minutes, they throw in a little thing like, oh, he's really good. Okay, so now you can talk about the other ones.
Right. I mean, we're talking about Rocky IV. I mean, I love it. Well, I think my favorite Rocky sequel is Rocky II, actually, which in a way is a replay of Rocky. But in that case, Rocky does win.
We get to see him win.
So we do get to see him win, and I think it's just as good of a drama, and just expands on this. I know you all have a place in your hearts for Rocky III, IV, and Rocky Balboa.
Mm-hmm.
My comment about Rocky IV is that at the beginning, when I think I like it up to the point where James Brown comes in and he's singing, you know, "Living in America," which just shows how far Rocky's come in terms of being over-commercialized. And then after that, I kind of lose interest in the film. But I thought that was it made a really, really good point about where his career had gone and how basically he lost control of it.
Well, and also because they were fighting the Russians, and I think, I don't know what, it was 80 what? Yeah. It was still okay to have movies about hating Russia.
Yeah, it was like 83, 84,
oh, no,
something like that.
No, Rocky, 85. Rocky IV was like 86, I think.
86?
Because it was like 83, 84 when they did Rocky III. Mm. So it was a long time.
I just like Rocky III because it opens with Hulk Hogan.
That is thunder.
Who, by the way,
Hulkamania's going back, for you.
Going back to the size of Stallone, he looks like a midget against him. And they always said that Hulk was like 6'9". Yeah. They've got a commercial out right now where Hulk Hogan is standing next to Troy Aikman, who I've seen, who's the same size as me, 6'3".
Yeah.
And Troy Aikman dwarfs Hulk Hogan. Yeah. So that just puts you a little perspective as to the height of these people. It drives me crazy. But anyway,
I'll
try not to beat it to Bush too much. I like how he just throws the turkey outside.
Yeah, it is.
Get the damn bird.
I also like how he says to Rocky 1 minute before they walk in the house, "Yeah, my sister knows you're coming over."
Yeah,
when you come in and you're like, "Oh, she didn't know he was coming." And
he left a leg for himself, though. He no dummy.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've ever. Got one piece of turkey. I also like it how I don't know if you guys have ever been to a 12-step meeting, but you go and then you go, man, my life's not so bad. And you look at this relationship like, oh, okay, I've had some bad dates and setup of dates, but it's never really been that bad.
That's why I watch Intervention.
Well, but once again, this upends, you know, all the conventions of how things should go, and that's what made it fresh then. It still makes it fresh now. It's not the cliche scene.
Oh, not at all.
How about the fact that they have a picture of Polly right here in a military outfit?
Ooh, very nice.
Very decorated, and you see that he's some sort of military, whether it was Vietnam
where he
or
was and where he is now.
And yeah, he's a good guy as well, or he's a stand-up guy.
Well, he's a stand-up guy, but I mean, basically, I mean, Polly is he's down and out. He's got no opportunity in his life. He can't make it. He's like Rocky in a way. He's less than Rocky. He can't even make anything work.
Yeah.
In fact, Rocky becomes his life.
Yeah.
Once Rocky's career starts taking off, because it gives him purpose, and he sees where he takes an opportunity because that's when he starts selling
advertising.
Yeah, he does. He does take advantage of it, but it does focus his.
Oh yeah, no, no,
it focuses his life.
Oh no, I think it's great. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, Right, you're talking about he didn't have an opportunity, and now he sees Rocky as
all he does. He basically berates his sister. He hates his life. He doesn't have any work of any worth.
That's so nice.
Maybe laugh a little bit.
I like that he's touching the door.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is
I love that look.
Acting. He's just like, oh, I'm doing.
Ooh.
She was getting ready the whole time.
Yeah.
She's like, I want to get out of here.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing is I don't even know if she really wanted to go out.
Yeah.
She just didn't want to be in there with Polly anymore. Yeah. She's like, oh, screw
right.
that. And the bird's gone. And I think she does want to go out. I think she's just so frightened that Polly actually had to do something that insane to get her out of the house. You know, because she couldn't say yes to go to the basketball game with the birds.
She's really good in this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like he's not had anything planned. He's known about this, but he's like, no idea.
Yeah. Well, he was coming over just to have dinner, and then Polly's throwing him out of the house. That's just brilliant.
Well, I mean, it's a nice character. Well, it's a nice character thing because it shows that basically, you know, he doesn't even recognize holidays. Doesn't recognize
family.
He doesn't have family. Doesn't have anything. So for him, it's like, well,
just another day.
Thanksgiving. Yeah. Well, so.
And I like that we don't know anything about his family or.
We never really learn anything in any of the movies. We never know where his parents are, or where they came.
No, it's nothing. Like he's always alone.
I like how he has street smarts. I do dig that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They always continually show that. You know what I mean? You can then they show her just standing there. Go. And it's also nice that he didn't really win the negotiation.
Yeah.
No. He can't get anything.
But
also that he's, you know, he's not skating, but he's walking along with her.
And also, though, when he first said, let me straighten this guy out, I thought he was going to use his muscle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he
didn't
go that
way at all. But he never does that.
He never does,
even
which
when
is
he's,
nice.
When he's collecting, you know, he's using it.
Yeah.
But he's not really using it.
Yeah.
But then again, that goes back to him understanding his talent. He understands that he is a deadly weapon. Mm-hmm. You know, if he hits someone, he'll likely kill them.
I read that this scene, there were supposed to be like 300 extras, but only one showed up. So they had to quickly rewrite the scene like this with just the one guy.
Oh,
I don't know if that's true.
Wow.
I learned that. And, I think it's in the IMDb trivia section.
Fits perfectly into the movie.
But it works great in the movie,
And it's one of the most like iconic scenes that people remember, I think.
Yeah.
And it's nice that there's not a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And also, this is the whole conversation about Southpaw and about... He didn't get an opportunity because nobody wants to fight a Southpaw.
Because
they can get beaten and then they look awkward. No one wants to look awkward. So this is...
Well, actually, Stallone is left-handed, so...
Yeah, well, and he...
And also,
I like this. As kids, we just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Look at her. She's like...
It's an old woman. Man.
She's like wigging.
Oh, that is sick.
It works.
That's just brilliant. That guy yelling.
He keeps on talking. Look at that. No, if anyone's looking, look at that flare.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, I thought there was angels.
Yes, John, those are angels.
I thought it was all those meditation hours I've been putting in. I was like, oh, my God, does anybody else see that?
Well, that was a quick jump, 3 minutes.
I like it. Yeah. I like how there's a clock essentially on their date.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Just like
that's a way to put tension in.
Yeah.
Tension in drama. But that's what he said to his turtles.
That's what
he said
to jokes.
Puff and Link. He said, "If you could sing and dance, we wouldn't be here right now."
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like the old Warner Brothers cartoon with a singing frog. It's if you could only do it.
Oh, I don't see 300 extras in that scene. Yeah, that's great.
That's just a horrible looking street.
Well, it's a horrible looking HMI, but it's okay. It's all right. We let it pass. As Tim would say, it's motivated by the light across the street.
Yeah, that's my backlit.
Is that all that graffiti, fake graffiti?
That's his brother again. What do you think, Leah?
If he's a bum, or what do I think about fighting?
Just in general, this whole scene.
I think it's a worthwhile question to ask, because I certainly don't understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most, in terms of sports, I guess it's the most pure form of competition. Just beating somebody because it's not really what you want to do anyway.
Sure.
Right.
But, I mean, like I said, I know nothing about the sport and the motivation of somebody who would want to fight for a living.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they're right. It's not a team sport. You can't blame anybody else for whatever happens in there.
Right.
But also, this is called hanging a lantern on something, which means you got this boxer that's been around for 6 years and he's never broken his nose.
Yeah.
So you better say that out loud because everyone else that's a boxer watching the movie's like, dude,
he's not a boxer.
He's got a pretty nose.
He's got a pretty nose. So you might as well say, I'm proud that my nose hasn't been broken. This is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than trying to slip.
Now, I have a question. Now, was Stallone into boxing before this?
I don't know if he ever trained it, but he was very physical and he's always, you know, into sports, I think. As far as I know.
I watched that documentary, I can't remember the name of it, When We Were Kings. It's the Muhammad Ali, George Foreman.
Yeah.
One thing I couldn't get over was just the egos. They're both saying about how they're going to, you know, pulverize him and all this stuff. But, you know, somebody has to lose. Somebody's going to be eating their words. Yeah, and I just find that, how embarrassing.
But, you know, I heard Muhammad Ali, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but what I heard was he had watched the wrestlers, like the big time wrestlers, and how they promoted themselves and over the top, and that's where he learned it.
Gorgeous George actually supposedly told him that, which was
that's how you bring in the crowds.
People hate me, but there's a reason why they hate me.
Showmanship.
And because they hate me is why they are there.
Also, you make the bigger crowds and then you get more money.
Yeah.
So it's really all about getting the crowds.
Yeah, because supposedly at that time, Ali was very subdued and quiet and really didn't say much.
Yeah.
And this is before he was even in the Olympics.
I think I'm just a girl. I'm like, oh, he's such a jerk.
Well, part of the showmanship, part of that is actually to get under the other guy's skin and actually try to intimidate him. Yeah, it's like two mongooses staring off at each other, jumping up and down.
But also, if you want to be on the news before nowadays...
Mongoose or mongoose?
Or if you want to be on the internet or Twittered or something, it's going to be about someone making fun of or saying, I'm going to stick your face in the toilet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to be talked about unless you make those crazy comments and all that.
She's like, so you're trying to impress me or what? he keeps on going. He doesn't stop.
Yeah. I got a rifle in the corner over there. It's like just sitting sit down, against the wall.
Sit down where?
Did you say a rifle?
Well,
newspapers.
He could clean the couch off just a little.
Women like clean couches. Yeah, women. To sit on.
What do you think about that, lady?
That's what I hear.
What he doesn't know about women is a lot.
Yeah. Well, clearly, yes.
Well, I mean, they love WAP tees with holes in them, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Knew it. Right next to that illegal dagger with the from World War I.
What is that? Oh, that's the mattress he beats up on?
Yeah.
All right. I like the beer bottles turned upside down behind the couch.
This is the best.
Yeah. I love the window with the tape on it, too. That's great.
See you.
That's good writing.
He has an ice box. He doesn't even have a proper fridge.
A classic ice box, for those that don't know. It's an actual ice box.
Yeah, you see right over her left shoulder.
And that's a great picture of him over her because he's so much bigger.
Look at the knife like and the knife mattress.
The knife. Yeah.
Obviously.
That's how you get to know them.
Just entrapment.
Yeah. See, that's where... I don't really see leading men trapping women in corners anymore. You know, that's
well, did you notice the long look whenever he actually complimented her eyes? She actually looked up and kept looking at him.
Oh, yeah. She's very receptive. Or she. But he's being very masculine.
I'll just kiss you. Yeah. So caught up, I don't know what to say.
I know, that's nice.
I think we're witnessing a rape here. I'm just kidding. But we see that she takes him in.
Oh, yeah.
Then they go down to the floor. I mean, the couch was dirty enough. And
she's like, no, like, I think I'll take my chances over here.
And Have you ever tried to kiss someone and move at the same time? It really is so far more awkward in real life than it is in movies. Like in movies, you're just like, oh.
When they're like making out and running through the door while taking their clothes off. Pretty hard.
Yeah, because you have to try and get off something and you're like, oh.
I don't know. I do it all the time. It's really quite easy. Now, we really haven't seen Mickey up until now.
No.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen him once. And how far? We're like about almost like an hour in.
Well, I love how right here that all of a sudden now Mickey's receptive to him. And
because?
Well, he's gotten the call from Apollo Creed.
Mickey got the call. Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We want to see this guy. And so all of a sudden now, after kicking him out and throwing him to the curb, it's like, hey.
Well, not yet.
And
that doesn't happen quite yet.
And Rocky still thinks it's for sparring partners, though. At this point, he still doesn't
even
know.
See, he thinks he only needs sparring partners. Yeah. He doesn't think he needs them for the real fight yet.
That's what I just said. There you go. I like this.
Now, this is a great moment.
Ah, there you go.
What we find out there is we find out that Mickey always really did like him.
Yep.
But he just didn't like the choices he was making or that he wasn't always given his full potential as well.
Right.
Well, basically, he says, morally speaking, becoming a leg breaker, you know, working for the mob was absolutely unacceptable.
Well, and he could have been a good fighter.
Yeah.
Which we also need to know because otherwise... How could someone who couldn't have been a good fighter really go the distance? So,
you missed.
What's his actress's name? Anybody know?
I have no idea.
What's her name?
That would have been good.
Never to be seen again. I just love the wood paneling of the '70s. Come on.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you, the wood paneling is still around. But not as popular, of course.
Glad that suit isn't around anymore.
Yeah.
Jerkin's secretary is Shirley O'Hara.
Uh-oh.
Shirley O'Hara.
I like now how what, this guy's what, wearing the same suit he had on before, so they probably did the scene the same time, and, same day as the other scenes with him.
Yeah.
Low budget!
Now, Curtis, you're in the acting game. I love how Sylvester Stallone almost doesn't ever look at him.
Yeah.
Like he's not even worthy. I love that.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Well, I mean, that part of it is a function of how you do the shot. So that way you can get both of them in the shot. And that way it also shows that he's basically intimidated. What?
It was a great acting choice. Give him credit.
I'm giving credit to the director here, Monsieur.
Sly had nothing to do with it.
Sly had half to do with it. Mr. Avildsen had the other half.
What about right there, not looking at him?
Well, he is looking at him.
Also, because now he's sitting down, it's a little awkward to be looking at somebody who's standing away from you while you're sitting in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wouldn't have looked right.
And I love how he says no, that he doesn't want to fight him at first. And that's just great.
Well, it also sets up that there's maybe a reason why he never was successful. Maybe he never believed in himself either. So it's like...
That's already been established that he didn't believe in himself. Yeah, right. He didn't believe in himself enough.
Exactly. Yeah. So he always kind of held himself back and just didn't ever take that last leap.
Oh, yeah. Or he didn't work out enough, or he drank beer and he smoked cigarettes. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. And the meta story is and why this film was so successful and still is successful and why one of the best, you know, best picture is because it's not just a story about him and boxing, but it's about many other people's stories. Many other people's lives are like this.
I like how he's just in the background, like really hidden way back there. They really did a lot of jump right here by having him sitting down there actually watching the press conference in which he had already attended, and we don't know how long it was. Weeks? Days?
Oh, that's great.
Notice she's not wearing her glasses.
No longer wearing glasses.
She's,
looking
she's nice. Not wearing her hat. She's
no longer hiding behind anything.
She's... Well.
That's brilliant.
He's so unsophisticated. It's great.
He doesn't know what to think.
Well, but it does show he's unsophisticated. He doesn't know the pattern.
Watch this now.
That's so cute.
He's waiting this whole time watching this to let her see that.
Don't push it.
Punch you in the mouth.
Okay. That use of a television broadcast, I approve. Yeah. That was
okay.
Good.
That was fun.
Well, because he's watching it himself.
Yeah.
That's great.
He's always now he's already got people coming in for opportunities. That's good. See, it's the first time he's ever been supported.
That's
probably
nice.
Ever.
Yeah, that's nice.
Man.
I used to own so many sweater things with V's when I lived back in Cleveland, Ohio in the winter.
Really?
Those winters are freaking cold, man. I so do not miss that at all.
I'm from New England.
Oh,
I know.
Oi.
Yeah. Yeah. From back east, yeah. Yeah, don't miss. I like the winters, just, you know, little spurts and that's it. Yeah, but clearly they did not chew this during winter.
Because you can't see their breath.
You do. Exactly.
Their mouth can actually move.
Oh, no.
Oh,
actually, no,
no,
there's
there
breath.
It is.
Whoa.
Hey. That's what I say to my wife. I say, hey, where's the kiss? Hey.
Oh, we hear the Rocky music. There's been very little music in this. Mm. Look at the trash. Oh, my God.
That's nice, huh?
It's not being nice.
He's ready to scoop it up when he becomes famous.
Right, he's trying to buy. He's buying them.
I think it's nice.
I think it's
it
nice.
It is
I
both.
I think there's a theme in this whole movie that everybody, no matter what they're doing, they've got a heart underneath.
Okay.
And as soon as there's like an opportunity or something, except Polly.
Or the driver guy.
Yeah. Oh, the driver guy. Yeah, the driver guy just...
Look at that car,
yeah.
Man. That is huge.
And we get to watch Burgess walk up every step.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I love it.
This is such a great role for him. Well, it was a great role, and he made it great.
I want to get a hat like that so bad. back.
You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
This wouldn't be me. Do I have to wait 80 years before I can put that on?
You got to start smoking a lot so your voice gets nice and gravelly. Mm-hmm.
Drink lots of whiskey.
See, like he already knows why he's there.
I just noticed that his lamp is on a upside down KFC bucket with no lampshade.
And of course, that's the source of light for the whole scene on Rocky. Yeah.
That's right, and it is decently motivated.
Yeah,
as Tim would say. They have a nice blue light in the back.
That's true up there. That's great. Rocky's just tuning him out now. That's great.
What this exposition says is that who he was Rocky.
Yes.
And he never got a shot. He never got an opportunity. And
yeah,
he really is trying to give him advice, even though he is also trying to jump on the bandwagon.
Right.
You know what's interesting is... Yeah.
And it's also... Go ahead. You say your thing.
Well... What I was going to say is that I first saw this, I probably was like 20 years old. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, I don't remember much about my experience. I thought it was a good film. But I can tell you, watching it now, being significantly more than 20 years old, it's a lot different watching this and what this movie is saying in terms of getting your shot at life. You know, and when you get it, and I mean, this really is, he's a symbol. I don't want to say he's a metaphor, but... It's pretty potent.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, I see it like much different eyes than when I was younger.
Yeah. What I really liked.
And especially, I mean, his story, you know, because a lot of people, they get a little bit of a chance and then that's it, you know, and then you never get another chance.
Burgess Meredith part.
Yeah.
I was gonna say I liked how when Rocky was tuning him out, they gave him mail to look at. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
because that's it's good. It's good directing and acting is to give them something to do, as a you know, just try and.
Yes, this scene is a masterclass in prop usage. We've already gone through like two or three sets already, so now he's going to the darts.
Not even throwing it in a dartboard, just throwing it into a door.
Just like we did in college.
Well, it's interesting also showing that Burgess Meredith's character, he doesn't know what to say to him, really.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to ask. He doesn't know how to say what he's really got in his mind, which is he wants to help him out.
But he's trying to sell himself. He's trying to sell that he's got experience and this and that.
And he knows he's
losing him.
Well, he knows that he was there.
Yeah.
Was it Liam?
Well, damage control, because, you know, he took away his locker, all this stuff. He's got some buttering up to do.
Yeah.
Does he walk in the bathroom?
Oh, wow. Yeah. All these years he's been asking for his help and he didn't give it.
That's great flush.
And how old was Burgess Meredith in this movie? Would he have been 76?
No, I think he was younger. He was probably like in his 60s.
I like how Rocky thinks he's no longer there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is. That's right. He's actually really sad.
Well, not, well, because he's right. Because yeah. Rocky was right. Rocky was asking, and he never listened.
And
frankly, he probably didn't listen because he was just as angry at Rocky because he was angry at himself.
Yeah.
Because he saw in Rocky what he saw in himself, and that's why he was like.
Now, this is great that he. This is great that he yells at him, but he's not even there, but he can still hear him.
Right. Well, that just shows how much.
Well, it's also good writing, good directing, because there's no way that he could have yelled like that with him 1 foot away from him.
Well, but he doesn't know that he's outside there. Oh. He's yelling. Just
I know, but this way we get the emotion.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, which is great.
And the thing is that... he's just going...
Yeah, that's great.
And he's going on because, I mean, he didn't do it in front of him because he doesn't believe in himself enough to do it in front of him, say it to his face.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's weak. It just, he never learned how to believe in himself.
He's still on the street. Burgess Meredith is actually in a condo in Florida, retired. Rocky's still yelling.
You can hear him.
It's like, oh my God. And at first he's scared. That's great. And that's what I kind of like about this whole movie too. There's this thing of people like really yelling and letting off steam, and then still like being friends or connecting again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is not really. I don't really do that with my friends. You know, I don't totally go out. You asshole. You know, and then like, hey, you want to get pizza?
You live in Southern California, sir.
Yeah. And you come from Ohio also.
Yeah.
Ohio's kind of trust me. I come from the East Coast.
Do you get crazy like that with your...
Well, also with the Jewish background. Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
Sure.
And
throwing the French in there, totally. It's like, yeah whatever. How about you, Leah?
You
come from New England. There's no yelling in New England, is there?
Oh, there is, but my family's from New York.
Oh, so there's...
And they're Irish and Scottish.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
All right.
We just like to yell. It doesn't even have to be angry. There's just a lot of drinking and and yelling.
Yelling from the Scottish.
Creative cursing.
Irish.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
Well, the famous
this is the famous egg
scene.
Drink, yes.
Oh.
One. How many was it again?
However many it is, don't try it at home because you can get salmonella.
Not in 1976.
Right after that.
What's
like,
that?
And then running immediately after, just like jostling around in there.
Oh. I know this is where everybody in the theater was like, oh.
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 That's tough.
I wonder what he did right after that in real life. Went running. I
wonder how many takes it took. Hopefully just one.
That was a oneer. That had to be a oneer. Yeah. There's no way.
Having drink, running in his Converse.
Horrible shoes for running.
So real quick, yes. Rocky agrees to have Mick be his manager coach. That happened at 71 minutes. And that's when the hero gets help. Unexpected help. And
now, this sequence coming up, which, if I remember correctly, culminates in the song Flying High Now.
Not this one.
No, it's the next one?
Yeah.
Okay.
This one shows that nobody's with him.
Oh, okay.
You got to show the before and after.
That's true.
And he gets a cramp.
And that's good. Yeah. That's good writing.
Yeah, it is good writing.
It is good writing.
Leave it to a woman to notice that one.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Just kidding. You lay him up, one. I'll put him in.
It's like we're dancing.
Sorry.
Yep.
But I love it. Throw in the newspapers. It's great. It's probably the only time they could also afford to gorilla shoot in Philadelphia and steal all these great sets.
No, they got permits for this.
Serge, you have to learn whenever I'm joking.
They didn't get permits for a lot of it.
This is what
they
didn't?
No, for the running.
For the running, they didn't?
Nope.
Oh, for like this?
I'm not sure which, but there's a story
about it.
No, that's a Steadicam. Yeah. That's actually a Steadicam. Look at that. Very early Steadicam.
There's a story about that, too, in the...
Which is?
The trivia section in the IMDb. I don't remember exactly what it was, but this is a really early use of Steadicam is pretty much what they were saying.
Yeah.
And they tried it out on these steps.
I think it was a guy with a pogo stick and a camera.
Yeah.
No. I think Garrett Brown is from Philly, I think. I don't know why that's popping into my head. Garrett Brown is the inventor of Steadicam. He also did commercials on the radio. He was the voice of commercials. Oh. Or something. I don't remember what it was. Yeah, it's like...
That's great.
Well, it's a great... It shows where he came from and how he started as he's so out of shape. He's so pitiful. He can't train. And how is he ever going to beat this guy?
Yeah.
And then later when you see him just fly up him, it's awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt that you have 9,000 kids around you either later.
Yeah. Kids will do that.
Always loved this growing up because my dad is a butcher and had his own butcher shop for like 40 years. And I still remember going back when they used to have sides of beef.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Seeing that, and my dad didn't know, but I would go in there and punch the sides
of
beef. Yeah.
After Rocky or before?
Well, after Rocky. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
This came out, I was not even old enough to...
Yeah. You know. But what I also really like is the writer knows, obviously Stallone, that he wants him here to punch these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he knows the character is going into the scene not knowing that.
Yeah.
So he has to have the character's mindset, and he knows the character mindset of, I don't want to touch these things. I don't want to hit them. So he makes Polly be kind of funny, bastard-like, swinging them so they come back and hit them. Do you know what I mean? And show that...
Moo.
Yeah. He doesn't want to do that.
Well, it shows how when he gets angry, too, how much... And it's setting up how much power he has as well when he starts snapping the ribs of these cattle.
Oh, yeah, no, it's brilliant.
And it's like, so it's a total setup, but it's, you know, it shows when he gets angry, he can go off the handle, he can really hurt somebody, and he really is a dangerous weapon.
Yes. Right, and it shows that right when he punches Apollo Creed at the end that he probably broke a rib or something or at the...
Being the son of a butcher, the boy does not know how to butch or fold.
Oh, really?
The meat. Look at that. It's a horrible job.
He's also drunk.
It's true.
That's true. That's why he can't.
Believe you me, my father had a few days of cutting beef drunk. Did it pretty well. Anyway,
functional.
But I like this. It's interesting how all of a sudden he's getting, because he didn't get a job offer and all that whole thing, and now he's kind of attacking him.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, my God, this is like a measuring of cocks here. It's like, you're going to punch the side of beef? Well, let me show you how to punch the
back
side of
up,
beef.
Back up, son.
Yeah. Watch out. And you're going to talk back to me?
That's right.
This is what could happen. It's kind of like the whole movie. You really have never seen him really kind of lose control.
Yeah.
It's like you said, they get the anger out, and then it's like, all right, well, I guess so. We'll see you tomorrow.
There you go.
That's why I love hanging out with dudes anyway, is that they, you know, can have a fight, whatever, then 2 minutes later, it's totally fine. Women will just stew about it and talk behind each other's back for weeks on end.
You said it, not me.
I love the fact that she's all sexed up.
Yeah.
She's
like, she got a taste.
Hey, he opened the can.
Yeah.
That's right. Stallone lost out the Oscar to Peter Finch back in 76. Peter Finch won it for Network. Yeah. I mean, that was
tough.
Tough competition. Yeah. Because Stallone really did an awesome job with this.
He did a great job. For Network, is that what we're saying there?
Yeah, Network.
Is that the Mad as Hell Not Gonna Take It Anymore?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And Faye Dunaway won for that. Best Actress.
Well, but when you
and Beatrice Straight won for Best Supporting Actress,
it's one of those it's one of those things that continually happens in Hollywood. Network, how often have you seen it since seeing it?
Yeah,
not
never, almost.
You know, I mean, it's one of those movies that everybody talks about, but you never see again. But yet, you got a movie like this that loses out to something like that, and it's on cable every other Saturday. You know,
well, look at and I watch it every week.
Well, but you know, but I think it was
Hurt Locker was good, but. Geez, what, 10 people saw it?
Well, it's like Saving Private
Ryan.
It's not
one that you own and you watch for fun.
The year Saving Private Ryan lost to, what was the Gwyneth Paltrow film?
Oh, Shakespeare in Love.
Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, man.
Who's seen Shakespeare in Love again?
Not me.
Nobody.
Haven't seen Saving Private Ryan again either, though.
Oh, I've seen Private Ryan since. Yes. Now, is it a great film? It's really good.
But
I think it was, I don't know. I mean, once again, it's campaigning. I mean, that's politics. Also, if Peter Finch hadn't passed away,
yeah, that's true. He did it.
Who was to
possibly,
say?
Yeah.
He did. Ooh.
That's true. It's interesting they have the scene after the scene of
maybe they rearranged it.
Yeah.
No, but I like that because then it comes. It comes from Rocky.
It shows that he already knew that by having it after, and he actually is dedicated.
Yes, it does.
He's just reinforcing that.
But you're right. They might have moved the scene around.
Yeah.
He runs like a goof. I mean, he does it. I mean, he's doing it for a character, you know, showing how awkward
he is. And also the network, you know, the neighborhood kids are saying hi to him.
And also, like, the autograph thing shows how different he is from Apollo Creed. Apollo Creed's all about the marketing.
Ooh, that's a nice coat.
Which is revisited in Rocky III when Rocky's all fancy and Clubber Lang is, you know, doing pull-ups on a rusty pipe.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. Mr. T.
I love that movie.
And he loves dogs.
Mm-hmm.
this is where it gets a little on the mocker side, but okay. I want to see the payoff for the kid, the cigarette smoking kid. That's what I want to see.
did we miss that or has
No, they showed her on the steps again.
Oh, did they show her already?
And a famous Rocky montage. Here we go. We have to.
Is this it?
Show development. Well, it's just the start of one.
Yeah, I like the nice little telephoto shot in between the poles there. I'd have to say this was probably a shot that was stolen. That one there. Not that one. Hey, John, what's that thing? I was going to say if it was longer. The phone booth. Never mind. Bad joke. It was a phone booth.
Yeah. Oh, what's that? I catch what you're saying.
Don't breathe on me.
I don't know.
It's the best.
That's where Superman gets his powers.
What did Paul do?
He's the one that called the news.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, got it.
My sister really likes you. That's his comeback. That's great.
Hey, that's a good one.
It is.
I'm charging the meat.
But this is great because it's already showing Polly's
media
savviness.
But also, look where the interview is being done. It's being done in the butcher house with all the sides of beef in the background. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And they could have done this in the alley. This could have done it anywhere, and they did it here. And it's us looking into the camera. Notice that.
That's great.
He's photobombing. Oh, and this is, I'm sure this, well, this is an interesting turn because now Apollo's going to get the idea of like, uh-oh, maybe this guy is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Apollo doesn't, he doesn't notice, his trainer
the
notices.
Trainer notices. Well, I mean, Apollo's and he tries to tell Apollo, and he's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but what, like, in other words, said, it comes back in Rocky III whenever they show Mr. T going crazy and training the grungy wore-out gym, which he eventually does in Rocky III to get back in shape, but
yes.
Shows that he had lost his hunger. He now was Apollo Creed.
The Eye of the Tiger. Yeah.
Well, and also they need to do this because otherwise, how can a nobody beat a champ?
Yeah.
So the champ has to be off his game.
Otherwise, well, I mean, and that actually comes with history books from the fight, the Muhammad Ali fight that I was talking about. That supposedly he didn't take it serious. He was going to walk right over the sky and whatever, and then guy gave him everything.
And it gives a credence because his trainer's saying, "Whoa."
Yeah, because his trainer's like, ooh.
Run for emperor.
Now, getting back to the TV thing, it's that, you know, here I'll accept that this is a good way to give exposition. For something that they couldn't be there in person for. And it's using the media, in a sense, as part of what the message is.
Yeah.
But, you know, it works better when everything's in person, same room, that type of thing is what I'm saying. Something on TV, I just think it tends to be used for lazy writing.
Well, for me, it becomes coincidental.
Happened
to be on the TV, happened to be on the right channel, just... Especially back then, there was no DVRs and no net.
Well, back
internet,
then, there
you know
were also
I mean?
Three channels.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
But still, watching it, I mean, you're more likely to see it at sometimes. And the way they've done it in this film, I can buy it.
Yeah.
I can. It's on the edge of buying it.
Yeah. I'm going to start paying more attention to that because I've never really thought about the use of TV.
Oh, it drives me bananas.
It doesn't bother me, I guess. So. Yeah.
Well,
maybe it will now.
Maybe.
Perhaps. Now you...
You can email us at filmgrot.com and let us know.
Or you can just call me up and tell me, hey.
Yeah.
Or do another film with us.
Hey, Serge, what?
If you'll have me back.
All of the above. Oh.
I give you my sister. That's great.
It's a fantastically acted scene. It's amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, we didn't find out till then that he lost his job.
Ah.
Is that what he said, that he lost his job?
I can't haul meat no more.
Oh.
He probably had something to do with him setting up, bringing the news cameras in and everything else and all that stuff.
Being drunk.
Yeah. Well, they didn't care about that in Philly.
Yes. Those days,
they can overlook those things.
But what I really like, too, is that Rocky didn't interfere until he started being mean to her. Do you want a roommate? That's great. That was a little...
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
See that? Any actor ever playing a boxer? See how he's on his toes? There you go.
So he's doing it right?
Yes, he is.
Okay. There you go.
Poison.
Eat lightning, crap, thunder.
Jimmy Durante's brother.
Yeah.
Look at this.
What's a cut man?
Well, he's that. He's the guy that puts Vaseline all over your face so the punches slide off. And makes you, well, and then when you get cut, he's the guy that doctors it up in between rounds.
So there's a guy specifically for that?
Yes, that's all he does.
Wow.
Make sure that you know, they put ice packs on you when they come back up, like a cold pack. So, like, if you got an egg under your eye or something like that,
he's called the cut man. Wow, that's interesting.
He's like, cut me, Mick, I can't see.
No, I mean, I knew about the cutting, but I didn't realize there was an actual cut man.
Yeah, he doesn't cut you. He doctors up the cuts.
No, I got that.
Cut. Yeah,
he's the guy. Wow, interesting. All right.
Well, he's basically just your doctor in the corner there. He does a billion
other
things.
If you get a cut above your eye, right, they pinch it or whatever to help it stop bleeding and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
for the moment, yeah.
Yeah, I got that part. I just really didn't realize
right
it was like,
suckers.
Yeah.
You know, like a moil. You know, a moil does a thing.
Can we get into what those get? No, never mind. Never mind.
Look it up.
Here we go.
Look it up on the internet.
Sunrise.
He's got bricks in his hands.
Of course, yeah, awesome. Exactly. No, that's very important. I mean, that shot was started with a sunrise. Yeah. Symbolic, but also visually. Visually, we have not seen the sun in this film at all. Mm.
And now
we may have
sunny
seen
sunshine,
but now it's sunny. We've, you know. Everything is looking up.
Just an actual fantastic piece of music, man. Unbelievable.
Which is also interesting because...
Steadicam. No.
This is between 60 and 90. This is the end of the second act.
Mm. Oh,
so
okay.
Things are looking up for him. Mm-hmm. And then, which is kind of interesting because sometimes, usually, between 60 and 90, things just get worse and worse and worse. Except for that 75-minute scene where you get help from somebody else, and that's where Mick became his coach. So everything's looking up, and then we're going to have the big drop at the end of the second act.
He's in some damn good shape there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's one thing you can always say about Stallone in every single movie he ever did. I mean, even in some of the cheesy Rambo 3 movies, he's doing all his horse riding and everything else. And people don't know he's a scratch golfer. Yeah. He's a great painter. I mean, when he does something, he does it 100%. That's for sure.
The other thing here is at the time, I don't think we'd seen this level of physical commitment to a role.
Yeah.
I think that was another thing that made this film great at the time. It still makes it great.
Right, because it's him.
Really, really him. And, I mean, he made his career on that. This is what I can do physically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me the physical roles.
Yeah.
And man, as a kid, I always loved this scene because he is cruising right here. He's actually running really, really fast.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, look at that.
Damn.
Oh, it's Rocky II when all the kids are with him.
Yeah.
It's not this one. I was having... God, it's funny how some of these things blend together sometimes.
Yeah. This one's just the music, which is nice.
Still, I mean, iconic shot of any movie. Oh, yeah. It's one of those right there.
And that's optical slow motion.
Well, and one thing we haven't talked about is how Stallone
when he was born, had a nerve mm-hmm. what it was, the word I'm looking for is didn't function right. He just basically was born with
a nerve not working in his.
Having a brain fart right now.
Oh, was it like Bell's palsy?
No, well, I mean, like for instance, my son has dimple on his cheek. Okay. Well, that's a lack of that muscle developing in your cheek. That's why the dimple's there. Oh. People don't know that. Well, Salome was born with a dysfunctional muscle in his face, so that's why he's got that droopy looking face.
Yeah, yeah.
And it fits the role so perfectly. It looks like he's some mall fighter is so run down.
And it only shows up at certain times.
Yeah.
I mean, other times he looks totally handsome.
So when he yells, one lips down and everything else. And
okay, so here's the end of the second act, and this is going to be the darkest moment, and it leads into the darkest moment conversation with Adrian. But the promoter is going to show up here.
Deficiency. Thank you. Jesus Christ. I was going to freaking go crazy the rest of my life if I never thought of that. He has a muscle deficiency in his face.
Can he work that out to get rid of that dimple? Crap.
I guess, yeah. He just ties
cheek,
it.
Cheek exercises.
Takes a fish hook, puts it in his lip, and lifts his lip up. There you go. That's how he gets up. It's interesting how he sees the weight of the situation. But then the simplest response, it's the picture's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a real mistake by the art department.
What? How's the picture wrong?
Look.
He's southpaw.
Yeah.
Oh.
The shorts.
Oh.
They just wrote it in because they didn't have the money to repaint it.
Do you get that? He just realizes now that it's all a show. He's got no chance to win. Or at least that's how I interpreted it.
Yeah, well, it's a bigger game. Yeah. Well, but this is the game he always wanted to play in that he never had a chance to also. It's challenging essentially his sense of not believing, because it's making him absolutely face, I have to believe in myself to actually do this.
Right, because he's realizing that promoter guy does not believe in him winning. That promoter had no inkling. How I interpreted that, promoter had no inkling that he was had a shot at winning.
Right, yeah. But
he was like, "Oh, you're going to give him a good. It doesn't matter. You're going to give him a good show anyway."
Well, because it just brings it challenges, and it's the whole challenge of I don't believe in myself. I'm going to have to do this now.
Right.
I am here in the place. Wow, and then the guy also doesn't believe in me. So now I really am forced to have to believe in myself. This is what I've been working for. I thought I was working for it.
Right.
Can I believe in myself enough?
Right.
But I mean, the answer really is just get in there and do it.
Right. And right, that he gets to talk about it with Adrian here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leah.
What?
Yeah.
You could talk more, Leah. Come on now. Jump in there, girls.
You guys have more good things to say.
You have plenty of things to say. This is your favorite movie. I
love it.
One of my favorite movies.
It's one of your favorite
movies. Enthralled that she can't speak.
Ooh.
I can't do it.
Like he still wants to back out. It's interesting how she used we.
We, yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. That's what every guy wants to hear, actually.
Yes.
We're in this together.
Really?
Oh, yes. Please. But notice how she doesn't tell him what we're going to do. Every guy doesn't want that either.
Right.
Oh.
You're my partner. I support you. I believe in you. That's what guys want.
And I can go back to being nobody again.
Yeah. So what usually happens? So no one's ever gone the distance of Creed.
So he's got, so what usually he's got a happens, plan. Yeah.
End of the second act, something the hero doesn't die, but the way that the hero is approaching life dies. Mm. And 91 is there's a newer way of approach. So where he was actually thinking about winning and trying to win, now he realizes it's ridiculous.
All he wants to do is
now
make it to the end.
He just wants to
make it to the end. So he's come up, but the good thing is he's come up with a plan.
And also, if you notice, as a good hero, he came up with it on his own.
Well, that's that was getting back to my point, is that him, as he's so naturally talented, he could think of that way. He could figure out how to do it, what
the
plan would be.
That's as many as extras they afforded, and that's all they could ever use. So watch later, you'll see blank spots in the crowd. Mm-hmm. Like it shows them, like, oh, they're just now filling up the stadium? No, that's all they have.
Wow.
Okay, everybody move to that side. We're shooting.
If you've ever been on any kind of shoot like that, that's what it's
they
like.
That.
Oh, yeah, that's totally. Great. Okay, we're looking this side of the stadium. Everyone move there. And actually, what they usually use cutouts, which from far away look absolutely convincing.
Sure.
Trust me.
I've heard they've used balloon people, too.
That's nowadays. Back then, they used cutouts.
No, like, cutouts are much, much cheaper.
What the hell is that?
It's iodine. They do it to clear their noses.
Oh, wow.
Man.
Which will do if you ever... If
iodine?
You ever,
oh. All right. Whoa. Nice symbolic use of red. She's wearing a red hat. Mm-hmm. Of course, to match his robe.
Just don't answer.
Stu Nahum.
Who is he?
He was a famous analyst.
This
back
is
in
great.
The
yeah. Look at that. Is that great? But it's great. It's also Polly's no longer asking for things. He's now using his creativity to. So that's nice.
He'll ask for things again, though, in Rocky III.
That's right. Oh, in every Rocky, he'll ask for things.
A little bag.
Except for the robot, that was a gift.
For anybody that wants to,
if you say that robot one more time,
yeah.
I'm going to have to turn down the volume on your microphone.
But Stu Nahum also pops up in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He's the one interviewing Jeff Spicoli on the beach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Stu
That's
Nahum.
That's great.
But yeah,
can you tell me quickly what's this? What this robot is we're talking about?
Am I allowed to talk about the robot?
Yes,
sure.
You
go
are.
Ahead.
For
talk about the robot.
30 seconds.
For 15 seconds.
In
go.
Rocky IV, Rocky gets Polly a robot, a waitress robot.
I've completely blanked that out.
Really?
Wow.
Really?
Like,
do you ever see the Buck Rogers TV show series?
Oh, Tweaky, yeah.
Yeah, like Tweaky, but a little shorter and not as...
This is probably why I blanked it out.
I'll send you the link on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, this is interesting. This is like...
Yeah.
This is like beginning of Rocky IV.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I can't believe the trainer guys are on like this rose colored sweatshirts.
Yeah, what's with the color scheme there? I think they'd want to be in black or blue.
And also, why is January 1st? It's January 1st, right? I thought that why is this the patriotic day
or a big boxing day?
I've never even thought about that before. They mentioned it earlier too.
I thought it was January 1st.
I thought people just watch football.
Well, they
January
mentioned that earlier. Maybe that's it. That's when every crossed out. I don't know.
Yeah, that's those salmon sweaters and gear doesn't work.
That's a great line.
Oh, this is the same year as Taxi Driver, by the way, too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
That's funny.
De Niro was nominated for an Oscar, too. I think it's a fair assessment to say he's emulating Muhammad Ali.
Well, to give a little credit to Carl Weathers, he had never boxed before, and he certainly learned how for this movie.
I love this microphone. They just come
but at the time, Muhammad Ali was the biggest name in boxing, right? 76?
Well, sure. Yeah.
Wow.
It's interesting they lowered the microphone to Rocky's music, to the Rocky theme, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it only becomes
stock footage.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
I worked in a stock footage library for about 2 years.
Did you?
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know them all? Recognize that one? Where was that from?
I don't think they got this one from Sony. That's what I used to work for.
And what's with the poly with the beautiful woman? Did he mention how he got that?
He knows Rocky.
Yeah.
He'll get him dates now.
He's got an opportunity now. He's using it.
And that's interesting. That
Is that Joe Frazier? Yeah, they really got Joe Frazier.
Oh,
sweet. That's right. Okay, I think the big fight, from I remember from my childhood, was Joe Frazier versus Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali beat him. It was like 72, 73.
That's awesome.
Next, Joe.
Well, in case you, help you out, Serge, Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali fought three times by the time.
Was it
this,
three times?
Yeah.
The one I remember was the big, their last one is the one that I remember. Which was the last time, probably.
Stock footage.
Yeah, no, that's from the film, The Main Event, with Ryan O'Neill and Barbara Streisand. Kidding.
Shows all the guys.
Really.
It's like he's in Philly and he's still got a couple of boos. Mm. What's up with that?
That's Philly for you. It's a tough city.
You got like the frills. That's tassels on his shoulders. That's nice.
And the weird Chippendales looking collar.
Yeah.
No shirt.
Try that. Yeah. I wear it all the time. And they're actually in the middle of the ring with their robes on. They don't do that.
Rocky's just like, I'm here. Okay, what do I do?
It's kind of nice. He's just kind of humored by him.
That's the charm of him. He's unsophisticated.
Yeah.
But he's raw talent. That's the whole thing.
That's funny.
That was a random announcement.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, I think it also shows that even the announcers were just looking for colorful things to say because they think he's just going to walk right over him as well.
Like, yeah, actually, the commentary is starting now. So
he looked. Yeah. I think my favorite line in the whole movie so far is he looks like a flag, a big flag.
Yeah, like a big flag.
Oh. Now, when they did this fighting, I'm assuming they didn't really hit each other or what?
Well, no, they don't hit each other. A couple times you can see
how you can do it. I know that. I'm just curious about how they did this.
Well, the angles are always the camera's usually always behind the punches most of the time,
right?
Or at a right.
Oh,
you see like right there.
You can see there.
It was low budget, so you'll see a lot of mistakes in here because it was so low budget. But they did choreograph this whole fight.
But by boxing movie standards, is this good, movie boxing?
Yeah, I mean, for the budget they had, it's very good.
Well,
yeah.
Forget the budget; just for anything,
it's
is
good.
It convincing? Okay.
Well, what I heard was
athletically, Carl Weathers and him both look amazing. So, what are you going to do?
And what I heard is, I don't know if it's true or not, but they showed up the first day to do some boxing, and they got in there and they were trying to make it up as they go along, and it just wasn't working at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sylvester went home, and he wrote 15 pages of choreographed throw this person moves here.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what I heard.
I'm surprised because the way you do it is you get in, every single stunt is always choreographed beforehand. Yeah, right. In other words, if there's a fight, the stunt coordinator will get in there, even with a fight coordinator, and they will all work it out before, and you will rehearse for weeks.
Right.
And then when comes the time, you actually get in there and do it. So it may have happened that way, but I mean, that's usually how it's done.
Yeah, right, because you got to have a court.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just can't make it up.
Oh, well, no, this is a union film. You absolutely have to have a stunt coordinator.
But that's what they do at Dialogue. They just make it up.
This is also the 70s surge.
yes, and filmmaking was still sophisticated in the 70s. You'd absolutely have a stunt coordinator.
I didn't say they didn't. I love how good Carl Weathers looks. I mean, looks amazing the way he snaps his punches and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Broke his nose.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
What position did Carl Weathers play?
You know, I know he played defensive back. I'm not real certain if it was safety, cornerback, but it was defensive back. And I think the story went
an improvement.
Like John Madden's answer to him actually going and doing the film was like, that'd be good for you because he wasn't starting and he wasn't an all-star anyway. So he's like, not that he was a bad player. He played for the Oakland Raiders, but yeah, go ahead and do it.
They have pretty short careers anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many rounds do they have to go here?
The fights back then were 15 rounds.
15 rounds?
Yeah.
What are they now?
12.
Any reason?
Death.
Okay. I thought people got tougher. I don't know.
I mean, seriously.
Cue the laugh track.
Yeah, exactly. No, the guys are getting
I mean, look at Carl Weathers. He is greased. I mean, look at he's greased up.
Yeah. Yeah, just in fighting alone, he looks amazing.
Yeah.
He wants more and he gets it.
Yeah.
That was a great stunt right there where it shows the sweat come off. And
Yeah.
This guy's like, oh, boy.
Oh, he's getting a great fight no matter what. Oh.
All of the music comes in. You know it's going to get really good.
Yeah, I love that. So the last word, then the famous Rocky montage starts. 5, 6, 7. It just goes right in. Yeah. No, we don't have to see this. We just know that he's still in there.
Yeah, I like that Lady Liberty in silver is...
Yeah. And how we learned how in the first round and the second round by that, we know why he's in there, how he's able to stay with him. It's not because of his ability.
But because...
His heart, his tenacity.
Right.
He's totally outclassed, but he's not going to lose.
Because he knows how to not lose. That's the one thing. Maybe that's it. He knows how to not lose.
Hmm. I read that the biggest expense for this film was actually the makeup.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. Wow.
Certainly wasn't Stallone's paycheck. The numbers are always skewed, but I heard at one time he was offered like $400,000 for the screenplay and
that's
something like that. And then he was like, no, I don't want to. Well, another reason people don't realize that they didn't think he was supposed to be a heavyweight champ. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think the actual studio heads looked at him and go, you're not a heavyweight. Yeah. No, you couldn't be a heavyweight champ. Yeah, but.
So how did he finally convince them that he should
didn't.
Do it?
He didn't. He took it somewhere else and
And
eventually and stood his ground and said, I want to be in it.
And he brought it to United Artists.
And he wouldn't sell it. So. And then as also you were saying, Ooh. Leah, that he just pays a lot. He just took a lot less.
Well, also, money. I think UA back, back in the day, UA was definitely known for working with filmmakers and taking chances, taking a lot of artistic chances.
Well, that or they just wanted the movie, whoever... The director, producer,
but you have to imagine it was still a big risk working with Stallone, and at least making the deal. Once you started making it, then you realize, oh, okay, we have something here. But that's what UA was known for. That that's the whole thing. UA didn't work with filmmakers.
Oh, did they?
Yes, absolutely. That's
so was Columbia. But here's an interesting thing.
My favorite look in the whole movie.
Yeah, he's just like, ah, you gotta be kidding me. What do I do this guy? And then this is where the rib breaking scene comes back.
Oh.
Oh, I heard it.
That's right.
But, you know, the studio at the same time, you know, you got to remember who the superstars were. Paul Newman, Robert Redford, these great looking dudes were these superstars. And look at Stallone. And they're like, oh, we can't put him in this movie.
That's why UA was a great place for this.
This is the toughest thing in the world.
Oh, man. Oh. Well, like the juxtaposition of the lines, that's the whole thing. That's what makes it really funny.
Mm-hmm. I love that guy.
That was the guy with the mop at the. Yeah. That's right. With the locker.
And that was Christopher Walken who just rang the bell.
We wish.
This is the shortest round in the history of boxing.
Is this the 15th?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is another reason why a lot of fights ended up not going 15 anymore, because, or they changed it, because they look like this at the end of 15 rounds.
And they're moving so slow, right? They're all used up.
Truly.
I can't imagine. They had... Oh. Oof.
That's a flashback to the first scene of the movie. Hmm.
I mean, and that's just brilliant, because the guy loses, but he still won.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just brilliant.
Well, we don't know right now.
No, but yeah. Yeah, you're right. Listen, that's when I cried. Because I realize he's alone.
Yeah.
He's alone in the whole world except for Adrian.
Well, and he wants really that one person that's always stood by his side. Exactly. The only one that ever stuck up for
him.
Exactly. Right.
I remember the first time I saw this when I was younger, I was really happy that he didn't win. To me, I thought that made it a much better movie, even as, you know, a fairly young child. Yeah. I was like...
Right. Yeah. Well, but that's what made it so special also back at the time, and that you would expect there to be a winner, and there wasn't.
Well, notice that's not the focus of this whole scene. Right. They showed him win, and Apollo's celebrating. There are whole scenes on him, and he just wants her.
Yeah.
And then he lets her in.
You're breaking the jacket.
No, that's nice.
Where's your hat?
Where's your hat?
I didn't say that. That's
great. Where's your hat? That's great. And that shows that he loves her, because he knows the little detail.
Right.
That's nice.
And that's where it ends.
And he won, because he's got her, and they say, I love you. That's
Now, we heard that it was a draw, right?
Yeah.
No, Apollo Creed won.
Oh, Apollo Creed did win?
It was split decision. Well, it can't be a draw.
I thought it was a draw. Okay.
No.
Carol
Jones.
That's
only in soccer, sir.
I think I know her. Wow. I know where I know her from. Wow, okay. So Apollo Creed did win, okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
But fantastic film, Leah. Does it hold up for the 150th first time?
It absolutely does. Yeah.
Yes.
It gets me every time, and I notice new things, and... It was fun watching it with you guys. I definitely, I notice a lot more. And
it is fun, isn't it?
Yeah, is there anything big that you noticed this time that you hadn't seen before?
I guess not noticing something new, but just hearing, from a writer's perspective about different devices, all things that I had felt as a viewer, but having someone point out, oh, this is what that is, and this is why you feel that way.
Right.
That was enlightening for me.
Yeah, exactly. Boxing choreography there was by Stallone, and actually special camera effects was Garrett Brown, indeed. So that was the first use of the Steadicam.
And if anyone else is interested in that, they're welcome to come to my website, structurenotformula.com.
Ooh,
and
very
get the PDF of the breakdown of Rocky. And, of course, there's other ones that we've done.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's all about just becoming conscious of what works.
Yeah. So what did you think of this, John?
I loved it. I really, really loved it. And like I said before, I just totally forgot how much drama and just that it was just a good movie as opposed to that it was a boxing movie.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think it's fabulous. I usually, when I come out of a movie, I usually say one or two things that I would have done differently. Usually, sometimes they're really small, like, oh, I would have done this differently with that scene, or would have done this, or I think, and this, literally, I can't think of anything that I would have done differently, which is pretty darn high praise for me. Not to say that the stuff I would have done differently in other movies is actually valuable, but I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Curtis?
What I can't say anything that I didn't say in the movie. It's amazing. It's a great film. You know, it's very good. I mean, I sound like a broken record if anybody ever listens to all of our commentaries that we're going to do on all of our films. But I just there's so much I love about 70s filmmaking. It's just so raw, so ununiform that, you know, I mean, there was a lot of uniformity, but there was also so much that was just like, hey, let's shoot it here. Let's do it that way because it's the story. It's what it is, you know. And so, I mean, when you see the streets and they're dirty and you see him, he's, you know, there's no fancy clothes, there's no fancy lighting, there's no fancy set pieces. It's just sheer rawness. I love it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. You know how much I love the 70s and late 60s, early 70s, and just what kind of films were coming out. And I think this definitely was, I mean, that this kind of worked on the outside of the studio system, but still was able to use all of its elements and just make a great film that I think stands up so much better. The interesting thing is that then it generated, of course, its sequels, and each sequel in and of itself
got cleaner and neater.
Well, cleaner and neater, and how did it take that formula and that rawness, and how successful was it? It's an interesting thing to think about. I mean, of course they were entertaining because people definitely went to see them, but how far in spirit did they go from what the original one was about?
Mm.
Which is about, you know, discovering, coming to believe in yourself.
Because I don't think they ever strayed too far from it. And they did in
I think by the time Rocky IV, it strayed pretty far.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but that was the whole point was, is he'd always kind of lost his edge. And how does he find that edge again? And that is because he still is Rocky at a core. You know, he had to change in some ways, you know.
There's only so many ways you can retell the story.
Sure.
In all honesty, I mean, I think 2 and 3, it'll be interesting to watch them again because I haven't seen them in a long time, and to see how they then took those themes and they did use that, you know, losing your edge, forgetting who you are, going back to who you were, so you can then do what you find your mojo again. I mean, this is about him finding his mojo.
Mm-hmm. And what I liked about 2 so much is that it literally starts in the locker room.
Right afterwards. No, it's brilliant.
I love that a lot. It wasn't like a week later or 2 years later. It was like now.
Yeah.
It was great.
And then right up until they do the rematch, they do have a rematch. And I can't remember in that, I think either it's a draw or Rocky wins.
No, he wins.
Rocky wins.
Rocky does win?
Yes.
And Rocky wins every time after that, right?
Yeah. Until Mr. T kicks his ass.
Yeah, until Mr. T.
He didn't lose it. He didn't win in. Did he win in the last one?
What, Rocky Balboa?
Yeah.
You know, I saw that, I don't remember. I kind of enjoyed it, but I don't remember if he won.
And then Rocky 5, though, it's like a street fight. So
but
that's... He wins.
Tommy Morrison.
Is
that when he fights the kid?
Oh, you know, I'm confusing Rocky 5 and Rocky Balboa.
Rocky 5 is a forgettable film.
Rocky Balboa's all right. Milo Ventimiglia, who's in Heroes, he plays his son growing up. I mean, I think it's definitely worth a watch. It's not as tight as this, but I think it's worth it. So
it's good.
But cool. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. This has been Film Grok. We've done Rocky. See you next time. Oh, wait. What am I doing? To my right is...
Oh, Johnny Truby.
To my left...
Leah Tuttle.
For the first time. And Curtis.
Curtis Nelson.
Curtis Nelson. And me, Sarah Stolpier. Okay, now we can say goodbye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.